Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. The Bills, the draft is over. How did they do? All those picks, was it enough? One receiver, their first pick of all the picks was a receiver, but was it enough? That's been at the heart not only of the debate today, but really what we've been sort of talking about in here for a long time leading up to the weekend. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. Sal, does it sound like to you that's the number one discussion now, even with the draft being over? After all the times it was before it started, was like, okay, well, now what at receiver?
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if did what they do actually qualify and satisfy the wide receiver train? I really don't know. I think we have a tough debate on that, right? I'm not really sure. Jeremy did it for so long there and talking about it. But sure, I think coming out of the draft, there's still a lot of people who are very much either questioning or even outright upset that they did not draft more than one wide receiver. Now, since then, they've signed Quintez Cephas of the Detroit Lions, a guy that has 3 years experience in the league. He was suspended last year, but you know, it doesn't really qualify as much, I don't think. It's just a depth piece, obviously. But there's certainly that undertone of, wait a minute, you're going to go into next year with this group, and you took one, and you didn't add anything more. So, yeah, and I think it's, to me, super interesting that the Bills are operating this way.
And I'm really curious to see how the pieces get played, if this ends up being it, right? I mean, there is still the rest of the spring and summer here, and maybe somebody gets traded that didn't get traded on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, the San Francisco guys or Cincinnati, whatever. But I don't know, I said earlier, Sal, I'm sort of tired after spending two, if not three, off seasons sort of pining for Odell Beckham Jr. or DeAndre Hopkins and monitoring Von Miller's Instagram. Like, I just, all right, I'll believe they're going to grab a guy late in the process when they do it. So if this is their receiver group when September comes, I'm just really curious how all the pieces fit together and what exactly they do with Coleman.
Yeah, I think we have the answer to the second question, which is he's going to play outside and a lot. He replaces Gabe Davis, who was on the field. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be on the field 95% of the time, but Gabe was on the field 95% of the time. He's going to play a lot. Brandon Bean said that. He's got to contribute right away. He's going to play the X. He's going to be there. He's going to be that guy. The question is, how good will he be in that role? How up to speed will he be automatically? But they're going to rely on him a lot. Like, this is a guy that's going to go right in the lineup and be expected to play immediately, start as a rookie. Opposite him, it's going to be Curtis Samuel. But Samuel's going to be a guy they're going to move all over the place. And how does he kind of factor into that? See, I think, too, that what we've seen here is this concentration. And they've talked about this for a while, but You know, last year was 12 personnel, but you guys know for the last few years how much they've talked about guys who can do a lot of things. I mean, Curtis Samuel is going to line up in a lot of different spots. James Cook can be flexed out. Dalton Kincaid. I do think that we don't talk enough about Kincaid as a really big piece of this puzzle because he is a tight end. But remember last year, is he a wide receiver? He's a tight end. It truly is, I think, what they believe, that he is a wide receiver, you know, option in this offense, even though he lines up as a tight end or flexes out. Like, when we take a look at the pass catchers, he's got to be right there, one, two, or three, with Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman. And I don't know which order you want to put him in, to be quite honest with you.
As you were talking, I was thinking about Kincaid. Like, I was thinking earlier, who's going to lead this team in receptions? I wonder if it wouldn't look like maybe five names would all be about the same odds to be the favorite to do that. Kincaid would certainly be one of them. What can they do with him that's, you know, perfect now with the other changes that they've made? Like, is he going to basically play the role that he did later on in the season, and maybe we had in mind when he was drafted? As the season went along, of course, they started to give him more opportunities down the field. It took a long time for that to happen.
I think he's going to be a number one type of option. He got a lot of targets as the season went on. They really started to trust him. It just took him a little while to get on the field. You know, there's learning the offense, the trust factor. He had a big, you know, fumble in the Cincinnati game early on. You know, he talked, you know, about, I remember that night, guys, after the game, and he said, you know, I just really hope Josh still trusts me to throw me the ball, like something like that it was. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do think that he's a big part of what they want to do. If you go back to Joe Brady's offense when he was with Carolina and how they spread out those targets, right? There was a lot of different distribution there. And I just think that's what we're looking at here. We're not looking at one big guy who's going to get everything and then a whole bunch of other pieces. You're looking at a lot of distribution. And if you want to cover him, we're going to go this way. You want to cover him, we're going to go this way. And I think they want to run the ball as well when they start spreading out the field. You know, I don't agree at all with anybody who says they're going back to this old school pound the rock philosophy. But I will tell you that they will take advantage of, and they want to take advantage of, teams who playing the two high shell and a lot of nickel. Like, that's what they want to do. They're going to say, look, this is something McDermott and Bina talked about, and I talked about it with McDermott at the owners' meetings when we had the AFC coaches breakfast, and he made it clear, like, look, this is a changing NFL. Teams are not allowing you to go over the top. They're playing two high shells, split safeties. So a lot of your big plays have to come from underneath. And now I look at how they're constructing the roster, guys, and I think they're going to throw the ball a lot to underneath and get the ball in these guys' hands and allow them to make plays. And they're going to run the ball when you're basically giving them, like the Dallas game. Now, Dallas was different. They ran a lot of dime. But I would say, like, that's the kind of thing that they're going to want to take advantage of.
Well, you know, it's always, and we've had these conversations together numerous times over the years, how what's happening right now in the league or what just happened in the league is probably not what happens next. And the Bills will still have, even with Allen having been so excellent throughout his career, they will still have to show, you know, it, in some ways, that they can beat you if you're gonna cheat. You know, like, maybe some of these teams now won't be as conservative playing against them if the Bills can't show that they have that sort of dangerousness down the field, whether it's Kincaid or somebody fast or just what it looks like.
No, that's right. I mean, there still has to be an element of trying to go over the top, right? And I do think there's been a little too much of the other way of, well, here's Keon Coleman, 4.6. He's not going to run by anybody. And Curtis Samuel is in the sky. Look, every team, like, if that's on Joe Brady then to also come up with concepts to do this, right? I mean, there's been times where you look and Dawson Knox is running free down the field. You know, Emmanuel Sanders at his age was still running free down the field at sometimes. You know, Travis Kelce is running free down the field. It is still on and contingent upon. Remember the game against Kansas City when James Cook was totally free down the field, right? It doesn't have to be that you have the fastest guy in the world to get him down there. A lot of this comes down to scheme, too. Scheme him open. And we do know these guys, I think there's been too much made, like I said, just about, like, the speed to be able to do it. They're still fast guys, right? And you could still have an ability to get down the field, you know, using your speed. It doesn't always have to be. It has to be 4.3, basically.
Recognizing that this is not completely across the board, but the thing that stands out about Coleman, we had someone earlier today say, like, great, they just drafted Kelvin Benjamin, like, you know, pretty tough commentary,
right?
But the body style and the play speed does sort of lean that direction, right? I don't want to muddy the waters here too much, but we've talked a lot about 2018 and to 2019, the philosophical shift from bigger guys like Benjamin and Holmes to smaller guys like John Brown and Cole Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie. And now, I don't know, here's Coleman, and there's not a cupboard full, but aren't some of the street guys they're signing, even this Lions guy, size too? I think,
Cephas.
I'm wondering if they're suddenly sort of doubling back to catch radius or just size in general.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It does feel like that, right? I think Keon Coleman is a guy that you could say that about for sure. But I do look down the depth chart and say Khalil Shakir,
right.
Andy Isabella, KJ Hamler. I don't think those guys scream that as much, but it's certainly not burners even after when you go to this guy Cephas. Do you guys know what Cephas ran, what his 40 time is?
No, I don't.
Have you seen this?
No.
Okay.
Really good?
I'm not kidding when I say this. He was as fast as I was in high school, 4.7.
Oh, my God.
He ran a 4.7. He's a wide receiver in the NFL.
Fifth round pick in 2020, Wisconsin.
Yeah, right? But, he is the classic possession receiver, right? In the NFL. Yeah. I mean, that's what he is. And that's why you're like, okay, even when they get this guy, it's like, what are they doing? I do agree with that. I thought about that today, Bulldog, right? The catch radius guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was a concentration with Coleman that, oh, let's go get a catch radius guy. I think Coleman just checked a lot of boxes. He was just a super good athlete. He can win above the rim. I think, again, it wasn't that the Bills were just looking for a big guy. I think Keon Coleman was a good football player, and he happens to be a bigger guy who can do all these things. But you look at, his gauntlet time. He was one of the faster guys once he had the ball in his hands, or at the gauntlet, I should say, with the miles per hour. Brandon said he ran a 4.5 in his pro day, and his GPS is all 4.5. He's faster than you think. You watch him when he has the ball. He is. He's not a burner. He's not going to plow out. Just get off the line, run Olympic speed down the field, and be Marquise Goodwin. We know that. But I do think he has more speed than people are giving him credit for in this regard. I said this morning, a friend of mine who is a big FSU fan, but in the media, I asked him what he thought, and I said, who do you think he's like in any way? He actually gave me an interesting comparison. He said Mike Evans when he's coming out. I went back and read, Mike, go do yourself a favor. Read Mike Evans' draft profile coming out. If I just read it to you, you'd think it was Keon Coleman's draft profile. Now, I'm not saying this guy is Mike Evans. If he ran 4.5, he'd be a top 10 pick, as someone pointed out. I agree with that. I'm not saying he's going to have that career. But a lot of the same questions about Evans and the way he played, a lot is the exact same here.
Said it Friday. The Bills are trying to get Allen that MVP. Don't keep loading up. We're going to trade Diggs. We're not going to draft two guys. The guy we draft, wide range of opinions. Look at Mahomes gets Hollywood Brown and Worthy. This is the year. And Allen will go 33 touchdown passes, the 9 or 10 picks. He'll run for another 15. Boom. First place, one seed. And there's the MVP lifetime achievement. That's how you win it.
Listen to this guy, Sal.
That's how you win it.
What a homer this guy is.
It's just they took away his weapons. They took away. What's your number? 150 catches. Yep. What do you want?
Catches. 150 catches. Davis, look at Diggs,
They added running backs. Anyway, I'm just planting the seed. Should we talk about the rest of the draft?
I like the safety a lot, Sal.
You should. He's a really good player. I took some grief for saying I think initially he starts out in a Saran Neal role. And I didn't mean to say they only drafted him for special teams. But again, here we go. Look, could he start? Sure, maybe. Maybe he beats out Taylor Rapp. He's going to have an opportunity. He's eventually going to be a starter. If he doesn't, then it's a really bad pick, right? I mean, he's got to start on this team at some point. The question is, does he start immediately out of the box? No pun intended, because he can play actually in the box. Right. Does he start immediately now? Does he start this year? Does he start next year? What I'm saying is, I'll say it this way a little better. I think the Bills think he can beat everything Saran Neal wasn't, if that makes sense. We can put him on the field now to play defense in a lot of different sub packages. And when he's ready, he's going to start. Maybe that's at the end of preseason. Week one, he's out there and Taylor Rapp is either not on the team or he's not started. But if not, he's still going to play and we're going to put him on special teams. Remember the role Jordan Poyer played at the end of last year? I could see him playing that role to start the season. And then what else is he could do? But I do like him a lot. I think he's a good player. He played a complex offense at Utah. You know, he's another one of these guys, leader, understands football, understands how to kind of, you know, go about his business. That was a big theme, as you guys touched on earlier, that I wrote about, and Brandon Bean confirmed, like, they were looking for guys like that. They saw a lot of leadership walk out the door. Think of all the leadership, team captain, all that kind of stuff that walked out the door, and it felt like they were kind of resetting that part of their roster, A, for these guys to be the future leaders, but B, that when they walk in, they don't have to be led necessarily. They know already what they're expected to do because of their maturity and, you know, how their football savviness and leadership qualities.
Have any quick takeaways on how the teams around the Bills did? Maybe starting just the AFC East. We talked to Mike Tanier earlier, who was high on the Jets draft. Miami certainly has a type, and they leaned into that.
Yeah.
In New England, picking two quarterbacks, by the way, Mike Tanier also pointed that out, but also two probably starting receivers.
Probably. I still think that, you know, I mean, you think about them. Jalen Polk might walk in there and be the best skill position player they have in their roster. Think about that for a second.
And I think Baker is better than he is.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, Baker, you know, one thing about Baker is, and this is coming from people I talk to in football circles who kind of know of him down, you know, playing at UCF, that he might be limited in what he can do in the NFL as far as route trees and things like that, and what, you know, what he's going to be able to contribute, like, all over the field. If you expect, he can't be a number one receiver at least right away. He's going to take some time to kind of learn the nuances of an NFL offense, what he was expected to do, what he's asked to do. That might have been a reason why the Bills didn't take him, but he also went a little bit later, right? Troy Franklin went with 101 picks before him, and I'm wondering why with him? I'm not sure. Think about the Oregon offense. What did they ask him to do?
Right.
All those things kind of matter. So you're right, Mike. I like him too, but those things matter to NFL teams. You know, you don't want to, you don't have time once you're in there. You got to go out and you got to perform. You got to do it. I don't care what people think about Drake May. You can love him, you can hate him. They had to take him. They had to take a quarterback. Whichever quarterback it was, you can't expect to be picking third again anytime soon. And if you have a draft where you're picking third and there's three top prospects at quarterback, to me, you got to take him. So I just think it was smart what they did. Speaking of quarterbacks, Jordan Travis to the Jets. That's a nice sneaky little play there for them, I think. You know, fifth round, sit behind Aaron Rodgers, give him a redshirt year. Not saying he's going to be great. I don't know, but I kind of like that about him. I like their draft. You know, they come out with the offensive tackle to protect Aaron Rodgers, of course. This is a team that, you know, has some talent. We know that, especially on the defensive side. And then the Dolphins, like you said, they have a type. I don't know what the Dolphins are doing. They let a lot walk out the door on the defensive side, you know, through free agency and their releases because of their cap. I just think that their window might be kind of closing here, if not already closed, and that was a pretty short window. But it didn't feel like they now I give them credit, though, for Chop Robinson for one reason. Like, I do know, like you said, they have their type. Like, that might at least give Jalen Phillips and or Bradley Chubb a little more time. And they don't have to rush them back. And, hey, if this guy can hit right away, then, you know, we can roll.
All right. AFC East odds at BetMGM. Buffalo plus 155. Miami plus 175. Jets plus 240. I can't tell you what it was last week. The Bills have always been favored there, but that's pretty tight three ways. That's pretty tight. New England plus 1,800. Maybe May is good. Maybe that's the pick. If he even plays, right? If he even plays Drake May with Brissett there. But
yeah.
I like him fine. I would have picked him second. Okay. Sal, any questions for us?
What are you most excited about the schedule now that's what we have to turn our attention to?
So that's actually next week, you think?
Yeah, because that would be next week would be May 9th, I think, is when it's going to come out.
May 9th. Wow. It's next week.
It's so fast.
I can't wait.
It's
Buffalo I mean, at
Houston. Not, the date is not confirmed, but right. Mike North gave us an indication that's generally around that area, and it's almost always on a Thursday, guys, so that just makes sense.
Buffalo at Houston, week one, Monday night. That's my call.
All right.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah. Works.
Well, Mike, did you listen to what he said about that game at all?
No, I did not hear.
Rivalries. He talked about storylines. You got one. Narratives. Yeah,
well, we asked him specifically how much revenge matters. That game I asked him about specifically. He said it's not like the game went from a C to an A. It went from an A- to a solid A.
Yep.
He said, but it's going to be, you know, it'll be a, he indicated it'll be a national window game. But I don't know if prime time, I'm thinking maybe the way he spoke, two AFC teams. I think maybe somewhere in the National 425 window. It could be a night game. I wouldn't be surprised, but week one, Bills were on the road Thursday night, on the road Monday night. Now, he said that doesn't matter. They would do it 3 years in a row. That's not really the tipping point of let's not do it again, but I do feel like maybe that doesn't happen this year.
Okay, you're ahead of me on this. Yeah. I was liking that before the Diggs trade, actually. I liked Buffalo and Houston for that, but... Yes, three in a row. I don't think I'm ready to live in a world where the Houston Texans are on at home at 4:25.
I was thinking the same thing as Sal was talking. Like that
1 o'clock
that
team
seems kind of like Jim and Tony in Houston. What
1 o'clock team? Even in the playoffs, yeah. Sal, their games are at 12:30.
Hey, that's Sal, right. That's right. Real quick before you go, one news item that has nothing to do with the draft. Rousseau, nothing surprising there, right? Fifth year option. We all expected them to do that, right?
Yeah, owners' meetings. I asked Brandon Bean. He said there's no reason for us not to, but we'll, you know, go through the process of the next 2 weeks or next month, I should say. They did that, and now they're going to exercise it. And no surprise, $13 million in 2025 on the cap. They can now have some time to reach an extension, lower that number, but now he's still under contract. It's only $3 million this year on the cap, close to $4 million. So now they'll have some time to work through it. Mike, go listen to that pod, man. I think you'll like it. We touched on a lot of things. I asked the question you wanted me to ask about week 18.
Yes, I know. I know. And it is very interesting. I'm not ready for it to be next week. I feel like it's usually, there's more time between, I think of there being like a month between the draft and the schedule, but you're saying not even 2 weeks or exactly 2 weeks. Maybe that would be.
Yep.
Very cool. Thanks, Al.
You got it, guys.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Of course, now drafts have started in fantasy since the real draft is over. So I've got that to do as well.
Drafts have started. Drafts have been going on, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're doing some best ball tournament drafts. That's right. But the dynasty draft started today, the rookie drafts. Malik Nabers is my first rookie dynasty pick of the year. Aren't you proud of me? Aren't you impressed?
Good luck with that.
104.
I don't mean to say that disparagingly, but I mean he's on the Giants.
Didn't
right?
we talk about Nabers? He is on the Giants.
Yeah, I'm scared of Daniel Jones throwing the ball to Piscataway instead of to Malik Nabers.
I went back and read Sigmund Bloom before the draft. He ranked 100 prospects, including defensive guys, and he wrote about Nabers. Please no Giants. So, in so many words, please no Giants. Talk to Sig again sometime soon. How do you think the Bills did? Did they do enough? Are you worried to the extent of maybe mentioning names like Kelvin Benjamin, Jonathan Linton, and Robert Foster, and there was another one? I'm not saying you have to be. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or... I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.